the struggle was not over. Every year, the SSC comes up again before Congress for funding, and every year the same arguments are made for and against it. Only a very naive physicist would be surprised at how little this debate has had to do with electroweak symmetry breaking or the final laws of nature, but only a very cynical physicist would fail to be a little saddened by the fact. The single most powerful factor motivating politicians to support or oppose the SSC has been the immediate economic interests of their constituents. The project's congressional nemesis, Representative Don Ritter, has compared the SSC to pork barrel projects that are pursued only for the political advantage of influential congressmen, calling it a quark barrel project. Before the SSC site was chosen, there was broad support for the project from those who hoped it would be located in their own states. When I testified in favor of the SSC before a Senate committee in 1987, one of the senators remarked to me that there were then almost 100 senators in favor of the SSC, but that after the site was announced, there would be just two. Support certainly has shrunk, but the senator's estimate turned out to be overly pessimistic. Perhaps this is because companies throughout the country are receiving contracts for the components of the SSC, but I think that it also reflects some understanding of the intrinsic importance of the project. Many of the opponents of the SSC point to the urgent need to reduce the federal deficit. This has been the recurrent theme of Senator Dale Bumpers of Arkansas, the leading opponent of the SSC in the Senate. I can understand this concern, but I do not understand why research at the frontier of science is the place to start reducing the deficit. One can think of many other projects, from the space station to the Seawolf submarine, whose cost is much greater than the SSC and whose intrinsic value is far less. Is it to protect jobs that we must continue these other projects? But money spent on the SSC produces about as many jobs as the same money spent on anything else. Perhaps it is not too cynical to suggest that projects like the space stations and the Seawolf submarine are too well protected politically by a network of aerospace and defense companies to be scrapped, leaving the SSC as a conveniently vulnerable target for a purely symbolic act of deficit reduction. One of the persistent themes in the debate over the SSC was the argument over so-called big science versus small science. The SSC attracted opposition from some scientists who prefer an older and more modest style of science, experiments by a professor and a graduate student in the basement of a university building. Most of those who work in today's giant accelerator laboratories would also prefer physics in that style. But as a result of our past successes, we now face problems that simply cannot be addressed with Rutherford string and sealing wax. I imagine that many aviators are nostalgic for the days of open cockpits,